chapter 5, and we'll be looking at verses 18 through 29. Now, if you were in my Sunday school class, you got to see the preview that led up to this message. And so for those that were in there, I hope that you find it beneficial. You got to see that last weekend. But listen, as we sit here this morning, I want to ask you something. Have you ever faced a situation where you had no control? Think about this. Where your decision you made seemed powerless. It was not able to change the outcome whatsoever. And maybe it was maybe a medical diagnosis. Maybe it was a broken relationship or a dream that kept slipping through your fingers. Life has a way of reminding us that we are not in ultimate control, doesn't it? We're not in ultimate control. But when we look at this passage in John chapter 5, verses 18 through 29, we encounter Jesus in a very different kind of power struggle. Okay? The Jewish leaders are furious, not over illness or healing, but over who Jesus claims to be. He claims authority over life as well as death. Okay? He claims authority to even judge. And he claims to share in the Father's power in the way that no one else can. So this passage forces a question we cannot avoid. Who really holds, now think about this, who really holds the ultimate authority in your life? Grab that big pointer finger. Okay, put it right here. Everybody put it right there where your heart is beating. Who holds the ultimate authority in the life that's behind this finger? Who holds the ultimate authority? Think about that. And this is not going to be just for tomorrow, but today, for every decision, for all of your eternal destiny, who's going to hold that authority? Now, I know that many, many will say, oh, it's going to be Jesus Christ. But how many times have we made decisions and then reminded ourselves later, oh, I should have prayed about that first. Oh, I should have sought Jesus on that first. How many times do we look at a circumstance as it's thrown into our face and we just lose all total control? We're upset, we're discombobulated, our minds are going 90 miles in different directions. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And we don't take the time to say, hey, one, this is bigger than I am. And two, it's not bigger than my Jesus. How often do we do that? Well, today we're going to see four ways Jesus' authority calls us to respond. One, he calls us to depend on the Son and not ourselves. Two, he calls us to hear his voice and receive life right now. Not later, but right now, today. Third, he calls us to honor the Son as you honor the Father. And fourth, we are to live in hope of the resurrection and accountability. So by the end of this message, here's something that I'm praying for, okay? I'm praying that you'll recognize that the same voice that raises the dead and executes judgment speaks life into your circumstances this very moment, this day, today. Okay? And I'm also praying that you will respond with faith. You're going to respond with trust. You're going to respond with obedience. That's my prayer. And so this morning, let's take a look at what this passage says, and then we'll go on and get into what Jesus wants to speak into our hearts, okay? All right, so we're in John chapter 5, and we're starting in verse 18, okay? This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father and making himself equal with God. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and the greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as the Father, or just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into the judgment, but he passes from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of God, a voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in him, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tomb will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." And all the people said. So Jesus calls us to depend on the Son, not ourselves. So he says the Son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. So here he sees the perfect unity with the Father. He is fully dependent, yet exercises that divine authority. Now they're struggling here. All of those that are gathered in the temple and gathered around, it's people of all walks of life, but also amongst that group is a bunch of Judaizers. And these are Jewish leaders, and what they have already witnessed was the healing at the pool of Bethesda. And after that healing, there's been no celebration that this lame man is now walking. They're all disgruntled because Jesus commanded this young man to get up after 38 years, pick up his mat and walk. We're not celebrating that he has a brand new life. Now listen, how many of you believe that if you were able to get up from a condition like this man had and walk, would that be a new life? Sure it would. It would be a new life. It would be an awesome experience. And yes, there would be celebration, especially on my part, if it was me. Amen? But in this situation, Jesus sees what's going on. We're struggling here. Not with the fact that Jesus healed this man, but Jesus has authority that the Jewish leaders will not recognize. They will not recognize it. Think of a high-performing orchestra. Man, we had it going on up here today, didn't we? Not that we'd never do, but today was super spectacular. I enjoyed that myself. And I know those who like the hymns, y'all really got excited about that too. But here's the deal. When you have that orchestra, each musician is brilliant, but yet the music only comes alive when they follow that conductor's lead, don't they? Yeah. And what happens if they play independently? In other words, what if we had a singer up here that wanted to sing louder than everybody else? Would that be good? What if we had somebody on the drums that wanted to play louder than the pianos or the guitars? Would that be good? No. We all have to play together, don't we? For it to reach the sound that we like, we all have to do this thing together. And so, listen, Jesus' authority works the very same way, okay? It flows from Jesus listening to the Father. What am I saying? Jesus didn't come to this earth with his own agenda. He didn't come with his own idea, and nor did he come with his own plan. He came for one reason and one reason only, because God asked him to go and fulfill his plan. God the Father sent Jesus Christ with God the Father's plan. Okay? So what's going on here is not Jesus making decisions here, but the Most High God. Now, the people in the temple, hey, they're good with God making decisions. They believe in God, but they're not seeing the connection, even though Jesus is making it very clear that I'm not acting out of my own heart, my own free will. I'm here under the lordship of God the Father. He's leading and I'm doing. Whatever he calls me to do, that's what I'm doing. So guys, you claim to know God the Father. And if you knew him, you would know me. But the reality is, not only do you not know him, that's the reason why you don't know me. What does all this mean? Well, look again. He said the Son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. So we too often try to solve problems on our own. We rely on our own strength. We try to rely on our own ability to control the situation. We attempt to carry the burdens that God never intended for us to carry. God reminds us that Jesus calls us to a different rhythm when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. We walk to a different drum. We walk with a different beat. We no longer should do as the world does. There needs to be a difference in our life and the life of the world. Yet the confusing part is, for many, when we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we simply just add church to our busy schedule and then check it off and call it good. Do we trust in not only the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but do we trust that when he says, apart from me, you can do nothing? Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that Jesus has all authority, not only over life, but over death and any and everything that's going on in my life? Do we believe that? Well, here's the generic response. Everybody go this. Yep. I believe it. Amen. Preach on, brother. Right? But see, what we believe is demonstrated in what we do. What we believe is demonstrated in what we do. We can sit there and say, man, that preacher, he preached a great message this morning. And then by tonight, if we've forgotten it all, then guess what? We're not practicing it all, are we? If we forgot it, then we're not practicing it. And you know what? I'm going to pick on the old people, and here in a minute, after this service is over, they're going to stone me, and y'all are going to have to find a new preacher, okay?
That's a process.
That's a process? We want to say, hey, preacher, my memory's not as good as it once was. Guess what? Mine isn't either. And the older I get, the worse it gets. You know what I have to do? I have to write a whole lot more than I ever did. You know, I thought I wrote a lot in college. Thought I wrote a lot in seminary. And I write a whole lot more now than I ever did. Why? Because my mind is not that sharp. If you really want to know it, if you really want to remember it, if you really want to practice it, you're going to do whatever it takes to get that done. You really will. You're going to do what you want to do. And here's the reality with these leaders. Their problem was, we're not going to recognize Jesus as the Christ. We're not going to do it. Even though, even in the Pentateuch, Moses points everyone to Jesus Christ, we're still not going to believe it. Even though Jesus is standing here telling us that he is the Son of the Most High God, we're not going to believe it. Even though Jesus has sat here and demonstrated a miracle of giving a man back his ability to walk, we're still not going to believe it. Just because Jesus was able to command and it happened, we're not going to believe it. Why? You know, we oftentimes really think that if we believe it or if we agree with it, it makes it so. You know? But if we don't agree with it and we don't believe it, then it didn't happen. But what we need to understand here is that Jesus didn't need the Jewish leaders or the people of that day to believe in him for his benefit. To believe in him so that he would have all power and authority. To believe in him so that when he spoke and said, get up, walk, and take your mat and go with you. He didn't need them to believe for that, did he? He did not need them to believe for that to happen. And here's the thing. Jesus doesn't need you to believe for what we read in Scripture today to be the truth. No. He needs you to believe because your life depends on it. Just like their life depended on it. Their life was hanging right there in the midst of eternity. The decision was, you believe, and when you die, that physical death, you're going to hear the voice of God say, rise. But if you don't believe, you'll never hear that command. You're never going to hear it. You're going to breathe your last breath. You're going to be buried in that casket. And friend, listen. You will be then separated for all eternity from God the Father. And the scary part is, not that you're going to hell. The scary part is that you're separated from God. You do not have his protection. You do not have his hand upon your life. You do not have his security in your heart. Or even in your eternity. What do you have? You have Satan with full authority and freedom to do with you however, whatever, and through you that he wants to. Now that should scare the socks off of you. Not the fact that hell is a fiery place. Not that there's gnashing of teeth there. but that you're separated from God, the giver of life. See, that's their struggle. That's their, that they were trusting in what they know, and they knew about Jesus. They just didn't know Jesus. So many people today know about Jesus. Why? Because you can hear about Jesus on the radio. You can hear about Jesus on TV. You can hear about Jesus like right now. People are hearing about Jesus by tuning in to Oak Grove Baptist Church this morning. But friend, listen to me. You can know all there is to know about Jesus and still not know Jesus, because their number one problem was, hey, this can't be the Christ. Why? Because this is the guy that grew up with all these other guys. He is the son of a carpenter. We know where he grew up. We know his mom and dad. We know all there is to know about him. There's no way he's the Christ. Friend, listen. What's determining in your heart that Jesus is the Christ or that he's not? What is it that's determining it? See, here, we need to depend on Jesus Christ for life and life everlasting. Not ourselves. We need to not only do that, but we need to hear his voice. And we need to receive that life. Here's what he says. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. It can't be more clear than that, can it? Anyone who believes him who sent me has eternal life and has crossed over from death to life. So eternal life isn't only in the future. It begins right now through faith. It begins right now. This is not something, see, oftentimes we have this picture in our mind. I believe that Jesus is the Christ and he is the giver of salvation. And so you walk up to Jesus Christ, you shake his hand on one Sunday morning. It might happen right down front here. It might even happen in your seat. You shake hands with Jesus and you say, I believe in you, Jesus. And Jesus pulls out of the back pocket of his robe and he says, here, you now have salvation. We think Jesus is just out there doling out and issuing out salvation. Friend, listen to me. Jesus doesn't give salvation. Jesus is salvation. There's a big difference. And the relationship with Jesus Christ is what guarantees you eternal life. You can't have a car that says eternal life on it and not know Jesus more than salvation. It doesn't work that way. Jesus cannot be your Savior and not be your Lord. It does not work that way. It's amazing how we believe different things when we're not found faithful to God's Word. But so many people do just that today. You know what that's called? Religion. It's called religion. Do you want religion or are you after a relationship? What does spiritual death look like today? It may look like a little bit of despair, maybe some bitterness, hopelessness, the heaviness of sin. But Jesus calls us from death into life today. Not in a little while, not when he returns, but today. Right now. So let me illustrate this. Imagine this. Imagine someone burdened by resentment for years. You know anybody like that? Burdened with resentment for many, many, many years, and one day they hear God's invitation to forgive. God calls them to trust. God calls them to a hope that is in Christ. And at that moment, because of them responding in faith, life now begins. Well, wait just a second, preacher. They've been alive all the way up to that point, and you're saying life just now begins. Yeah. Being alive and living life that God has promised you and planned for you, two different things, friend. It's not the same. All too often, people will go to church. They'll even try to read their Bible. They might even pray in a group with a bunch of other people, but nothing's changed. They don't put that word to practice. They don't trust Jesus enough to believe that his word is transforming. But although the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. What will renew your mind and mine? An updated understanding of politics today? Nah. A 2026 version of the birds and the bees? Nah. Nah. It's God's word. It's the truth that transforms. It's not your version of the truth. It's not my version of the truth. See, I don't get up here and get to tell you my version. My version doesn't save nobody. It's God's truth. It's the absolute truth. Even in a society that does not have an absolute truth, this truth here is what transforms a heart, a mind, and a life. And if it does that many times, it will transform a home. If it does a lot more than that, it can transform a church. If it does a whole lot more than that, it'll transform a community. And even more than that, it can transform a society. Friend, the reason there's no transformation isn't because the word is not lacking. It's because the word isn't being read. We know about Jesus. We don't know Jesus. You can't know Jesus and stay the way you are except through rebellion. Think about that for a second. Listen to me. If I'm going to reflect upon my life, am I truly listening to Jesus today? Am I truly listening to his voice? Or am I just listening to people talk about who he is and then I just kind of repeat what they say? Am I? Here's what I want to do this week, folks. Here's what I want to do. When I'm studying this week, I want to intentionally pause. I want to pause with the busyness of life, everything that's going on. We think as soon as we wake up, man, we've got to hit the door running. I want to pause. I want to listen through Scripture. I want to listen through prayer. I want to listen through quiet reflection. And I want to respond to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone in faith. That's what I want to do. If I'm going to take what Jesus is showing us right here in these verses, this is the application. I can't just go home and say, hey, sweetie, how'd that message go today? Oh, that was a good one. Good job there. Pat me on the back and it's over. Mm-mm. It can't be that for me. Let me ask you, can it be that for you? Are we hearers of the word and not doers? Because Paul tells Timothy in the last days, that's the way it's going to be. Who's listening and who's doing? I don't know that. I just know what Jesus is saying here. So hearing life is not enough. Responding with honor is next. And if life flows through the Son, then how we treat Jesus Christ in our daily choices reflects the type of faith that you and I have. Okay? Remember that. So the next thing is this. We need to honor the Son as we honor the Father. Look at verse 22 and 23. Jesus tells us that all may honor the Son as they honor the Father. So Jesus' authority is divine. Just as you saw God's authority in the Old Testament, we're in the New Testament where Jesus has been born into this world. He's in his ministry years now, and he is trying to move old-style religion into right now, brand spanking new life. And you know what? That's a big job for even Jesus. Why? Because we see some religious leaders with a little bit of stubbornness. Yeah. So this authority, I think we're all going to agree that it's divine. But for somehow or another, we have it in our minds that honoring him is optional. It's not. Honoring Jesus Christ isn't optional. It is inseparable from honoring God. If you're going to honor God, then you must honor Jesus. You can't do one or the other. Yet, we have an entire nation still to this very day, all these hundreds of years later, after this has been written, still trying to do just that. Well, shame on those. No, shame on us because we're still trying to do the same thing. Oh, I believe in God. I believe. What do you believe? People should be able to see what we believe by the way we live our life. We shouldn't have to tell somebody that we're a believer. We shouldn't have to tell anybody that we're a Christian. When they look at us, the goal is for them to see Jesus Christ and not us. But see, with these here, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders, all of those folks, they wanted to be recognized. And if we gave Jesus all the authority, it takes all of that focus away from us and it puts it on Jesus. We lose power, purpose, and plan. We're the same way. Man, if we give Jesus all the power and authority in our life, then you know what? I may not get to do some things that I want to do. Amen. Well, some of those things that you want to do, you probably shouldn't be doing. Amen. Oh, but I can handle it, preacher. Yeah. We are powerless against sin, and we're even more weak with Satan. Think about that. So, as we begin to reflect on this, let's ask ourselves, what are some areas in my life that I honor God? And do I honor Jesus when I honor God? What are those areas? And if you start reflecting on that and you can't find any, then the answer is, I'm probably not honoring either one. Amen. How am I doing representing Christ with my family? How am I doing representing Christ? Maybe at work. Man, what if we just have some old nasty, ungodly habits? I had a guy tell me just this weekend, I'm a Christian man, but I've got some vices. What do we do with that? What if we have some habits that don't really glorify God? Are we gonna get rid of those? Or are we gonna try to explain them away? What's the goal here? We often think that the goal is to get comfortable. I want to be as comfortable as I possibly can. And so if Christianity will make me more comfortable, then that's what I'm going to do. Friend, I'm just going to tell you, God never promised anybody to be comfortable following Him. That's why He says, pick up your cross and follow me. Why? What does that cross, why do I have to take the cross? What is the cross for? Because you're going to have some place to die. Not just once, but that verse says daily. It teaches that daily I must die so that I have the ability to follow Christ. You got to have a place to die. That's what the cross is for. What does that look like? Well, let me say this, and we're just about close. We're about to close. And that is this. Death looks like this, folks. I went to my 10-year reunion in high school just about 10 years ago. Teasing, I'm glad you're laughing. Anyway, one of the first things that everybody wants to do 10 years out of high school is, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And they get to me, what are you doing? I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and Christ has called me into vocational ministry. You? That was the response. My wife was there. She was like, why are they laughing? Well, there was a time that I wasn't so much like this. I was different. We're not going into details. Not going to try to incriminate myself anymore. Okay? But there's a difference. All right? Folks, listen to me. Too often, people want to come to Christ, but they want to know what they've got to give up first to do it. Friend, you got to die on the cross. Paul says this. He says, the old has passed away. And he says, the new has come. That's what transformed or transformation looks like. There can't be a hint of Christianity. No, it's all or nothing. And these guys here that Jesus was talking to was just like, I can't go that far. I'm happy being religious. I'm happy knowing about the Christ. And I'm happy rejecting you as the Christ. Are we trying to be happy? Or are we trying to be surrendered? There's a big difference. You see, surrendered is when you wave the white flag. Happy is when we leave here today. We forget what the preacher has preached on. We eat our lunch. We go home. And we pull the covers up close to our neck and go to sleep with a great big smile on our face. I went to church. Good night. What are we trying to do, folks? What are we trying to do? Listen, am I living as though Jesus has promised me resurrection, has promised me a real life that does not have to die twice, a life that whenever I die physically, I'll spend eternity with Him? Paul says this, absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. That's immediate, my friend. That's immediate. Friend, we don't experience that eternal life at death. Jesus is saying you can experience that eternal life right now. He says the hour is coming. All who are in the grave will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. So hear what Jesus is doing is he's claiming authority over the ultimate realities. You see, up to this point, nobody's seen anyone that has full authority over anybody's life. The closest that they've experienced is the Jewish leaders trying to govern what everybody does and does not do. That's the closest. But they've never seen anybody have the authority over death. Where in just a little bit in the book of John, Jesus is going to walk up to the tomb of Lazarus. He's going to say, stand up, come out of there. And everybody's going to be going, wow. But see, listen. Jesus has been doing that for a long time, hadn't he? That's nothing new. It may be new to them, but it's not new to what we read today. People have died. I've done a lot of funerals. I've seen a fleshly body go into a hole in the ground. And I wish I had the vision to see this. I don't know if it's like X-ray vision from Superman or what. But I wish I had the ability to see that soul enter into eternity as Jesus comes and welcomes them home. I wish I could see that. But you know what? I can't see it, but I still believe it. Do you? Do you believe that this morning? If you believe that, are you completely depending on Jesus Christ for the life here and now and the life everlasting? Are you depending on Jesus for all your hope to deal with any and every circumstance that may come your way in this life that he gives you? Are you trusting in Jesus that all the roads of truth, hear me carefully, what am I talking about? Well, there's many roads that you read about in God's Word, and they discuss different things about Jesus Christ. What am I saying? Everything that you read about in God's Word points to Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I've heard people say, well, preacher, we're a New Testament church. You know what that means when people say that? You ever wonder what that means? Here's what that means. The Old Testament isn't good for today. I'm not a New Testament Christian, nor am I a New Testament preacher. I preach the whole counsel. I believe the whole counsel. I believe it all has a purpose. And I don't just disregard the first half and hang on to the second half. I don't. That's what Jesus is saying here. If you want the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you got to believe in it all. Why is he saying that? Because these guys that he was talking to, they believed in the Pentateuch. They believed in that. They just didn't believe all of it. They didn't believe the part where Moses is pointing them to Jesus Christ. They don't believe that part. My word tells me that if you break one part of the law, you break the whole law. In other words, if you don't believe one part, then you might as well not believe any of it. But if you're going to believe one part of it, you've got to believe it all. If you're going to believe in God, You got to believe in the Son. And you got to believe in the Holy Spirit. You got to believe it all. Friend, this morning, we may sit here and we may feel like we have no control over certain things. But I'm going to tell you, there's one that does. He has complete control over life and death in all circumstances. He can speak life. He can speak healing. He can speak creation. He can speak it all. And it happens. Friend, listen to me. That's the Jesus I believe in. I hope that's the Jesus you believe in. And if you're here this morning and you don't know that Jesus, I'm going to encourage you to come and take me by the hand and say, hey, Pastor, will you introduce me into that Jesus? I want to know that Jesus Christ. Because, man, I want that Jesus Christ to save me. I want that Jesus Christ to heal me. I want that Jesus Christ to forgive me. I want that Jesus Christ to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because I want that Jesus Christ to be the one I put all my hope, my trust, and my faith in. Will you do that this morning? If there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, my prayer is today that you make a very serious decision, a decision that affects your life. Will you come and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? Invite Him in to be your Savior and Lord of your life. The one that leads you, the one that guides you, the one that protects you, the one that provides for you, the one that breathed life into you. Will you come? Don't be like these Pharisees. You got to believe in the whole counsel of who God is. And it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Will you come? With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one's looking around. We have the worship team coming. You stay, keep your eyes closed, head down. And you're here this morning and you with nobody looking around, you just say, hey, preacher, I've got a hard decision to make. That decision might be salvation. That decision might be something to do with a relationship. It might be something to do with a medical part of life, financial. Preacher, will you pray for me? If you want me to pray for you this morning, I want you to lift up your eyes and just look at me. Nobody's looking around. Just look up here at me and just say, preacher, I need you to pray for me. I'm making a tough decision. And I don't want to do it. I see those eyes. Yeah, I see those eyes. I see those eyes. Anybody else? I see those eyes. Amen. I see those eyes. Absolutely. Anybody else? I see those eyes. I see those eyes. Absolutely. I see those eyes. Friend, listen to me. There's a lot of people here that need prayer. But I want you to have Jesus. I want you to have Jesus. I want you to have the fullness of Jesus. I want you to know what it is to walk with Him daily. Maybe you're here and you've never accepted Christ into your hearts. And you just say, hey, preacher, pray for me about that. I need to do that. Will you pray for me? If that's you, just look up here at me. Nobody's looking around. Anybody? I see those eyes. Absolutely. Okay. Okay. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word, how it reveals truth that will transform our heart, soul, and mind. Give us a new walk. Give us a new life. Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ, who is willing to be born into this world and die on a cross for me and my sins and anyone else who would trust and believe. Father, these that have looked up here at us, Lord, you know their names. You know what they're dealing with. And Lord, I'm just going to pray that you answer their prayers. Lord, you show them how to trust in you for all things, not just some things. God, sometimes we think that we can handle the small stuff, when in reality, we can't do anything apart from you. And so, God, help us to walk away from here today knowing how severe we need Jesus. Help us to walk away from here trusting in Jesus Christ so that from this moment forward, all decisions are made through him and never apart from him again. Father, I pray today that those who are asking for salvation are at least acknowledging that they need salvation, Lord. I pray, God, that you will just give them the peace, the strength, the courage, whatever it is, Lord, that they're needing to go ahead and make that commitment to you, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll provide that for them.